episode 30.
Hey everybody, welcome to Into the 99, where we have 99 cards because Commander's number one. I'm one of your hosts, Sherman.
I'm Hope.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Brian.
And we're back. The
boys are back in town for Dirty 30.
It's been so long.
3 weeks in isolation drives us crazy.
Everyone is back and happy to be here.
It's very exciting. This is like the first human contact any of us have had in forever. Because we've been isolated.
Well, everyone else is working from home, staying out. I'm the only one, I think, still out working. My normal thing. Nothing's changed for me. I'm not even working.
Yeah. And also, we're still distanced from one another to some degree in this basement.
We're at least 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Four Hopes apart.
So...
Oh man, I miss you guys.
I know that nobody can see us, but just like for the record, I was looking at Daniel with a look of absolute disgust and betrayal.
And that's called love.
Yeah. So in the time that we've been apart, we've gotten some very exciting news. We've started getting spoilers. We started getting spoilers for Ikoria.
And for Commander, the new Commander.
Oh, Commander!
Five of them.
Yeah.
Commander, what's Commander? I play EDH. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Brian's broken.
Still can't play.
Brian, bot is broken.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been so long, guys.
Oh. It's so different. Like, you know, because, like, we still chat and everything online, but it's so different when you're in person.
Yeah.
Let's face it. But the spoilers, like, we have a backlog of things to record.
So many things. Like I said, we had to push a bunch of episodes off.
Yeah. But then the spoilers came out, and we're like, we gotta talk about spoilers.
Well, they did so much stuff, right?
Anytime that there's anything new Commander-wise that comes out, we gotta talk about it. We gotta focus on this. It's pretty dope. And let's just, like, consider the fact that there are sharks with hands. Like, this is something we need to touch on.
There's so many new things and, like, big commanders that Daniel will make. And
Heck, collections
on a jump to, like, another 75 decks.
It's,
time to hit deck 200. There's almost enough legendaries so far for me to do it.
We're
just going to list all of them in.
There are a lot of new mechanics, though, in this, and returning mechanics in this set, which is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, so a little bit of our plan today. We're going to talk first about the mechanics. We obviously want to talk about the commander creatures, but they have these mechanics, and it doesn't make sense to explain
them. They're
new
and cool.
Yeah, so we'll explain what the mechanic is first, then we will go into the commanders and talk about, at the very minimum, the face ones. Some of the new ones have been spoiled today while we're recording. It's Saturday. So... we're going to be missing some of the Sunday ones. I understand that you in the future will have a better idea and more will be spoiled, but
we're doing it live, boys.
We're going to do what we can see, and they spoiled a bunch of new cards none of us have looked at yet, so we're going to go from there.
There's new cards?
Oh my god.
Wait, there's a set coming out?
Yeah, right?
That's spoilers. So good. Vivian?
Oof.
Oh, yeah, do you know what? I have to say that the Blizzard team that's come over to the Wizards.
Is that who's doing it?
Yeah, they scored some of the artists from Blizzards.
Okay,
the last thing I noticed. And like these last two, like Eldraine and now this, like these videos.
Well, starting with the War of the Spark one, I think, like those promos have been nuts.
Yeah.
Like those videos are great.
I rewatched the Roar of the Spark trailer yesterday after I watched the Ikoria one. And I literally almost brought tears to my eyes. It was so well done. So
I still love the Brawl commercials that he had.
Yeah, the Brawl ones were really fun.
Anyways, let's get talking about the abilities here. Like, we haven't seen each other in ages, and we came here like 2 hours ago, and all we did was sit and chat about all this stuff. So
we have been sitting and visiting.
Yeah, and we're just like, you know what? We should just hit the record button and just start it anyway. So like, we're still in the middle of it. But anyways, let's talk about the new abilities and the old abilities are coming back. So first off the bat, Cycle is coming back.
Cycling is awesome.
Cycling is pretty good. We all know about it. We've all seen it.
The more you get into it, though, you realize that like it is such a good mechanic because it turns your late game duds into at least a chance.
Yeah, it gives them like a little bit more. But you know, like I can't remember what set the cycling came out with the first time, but I have them. I'd never really use them, and usually I end up replacing those cards.
I actually, when I started into the Gitrog deck, I was looking for those cycling lands, because Gitrog, obviously, you draw a card every time a land's put into your graveyard, so it turns my land discard, I'm playing lands from the graveyard the whole deck and dealing with stuff like that, so oh, throwing them out.
Draw.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. It's
nice, actually.
It's really, really good, and especially Sherman as well with the Muldrotha,
yeah.
With the ability to cycle a card to the graveyard and then just play it back out is awesome.
That's pretty neat.
It's, if your land had a win this, like when you draw it, draw an extra card, that's basically what cycling and Muldrotha is doing with those lands. It's wicked.
So situationally, yeah. It can be very...
Oh yeah, it's very situational for sure.
It's stuff like that where you kind of take advantage and exploit the mechanic a little bit.
Yeah. Very cool. So one of the main commanders is focused on it. Cycling is a big, big returning one in this. There's a lot that has cycling.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of things that are back.
Experience counters.
I was hoping that they would bring some back. I hope that there's more than... we only had a brief look, so I think there's at least one with experience counters. I hope... all of the decks have something experience countery because I really, really like experience counters.
If nothing else, we know that it's back in some form or another. So yeah. I'm very excited. I think experience counters are dope, as you saw in our episode on Marin of Kleneltoth.
Love it.
Check it out. It's one of my favorites. I love experience counters. I think it's a super cool mechanic.
Yeah. It's the same with the Azuri that I made. It's just a really fun thing to play with and play around. But so many mechanics.
Well, do you know what? Like opening up for other creatures to have abilities such as that, really, then you're not building the same deck as, like, I don't want to make
the same Baron.
You're very limited with your options for experience counters right now.
Honestly, so experience counters and Eminence are two of my favorite commander abilities that have ever come. I'm not a huge fan of the Planeswalker ones. I know it's hypocritical. I play Windgrace lots. But, like, I play Duretti. I have a Frailes deck. Like, I don't dislike them. I just... prefer ones better. Yeah. The Eminence trigger, I understand, is really strong. It'd be cool if they found a way to bring it back that isn't just bonkers. Like Edgar Markov level of, like, cast a vampire and you get it. And it's like, okay, why wouldn't I do that?
But, like, normal levels of, like, Arabo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arabo's really good.
Super normal.
No one talks about how he's busted.
No.
But, yeah, they were just great mechanics, and I am excited to see if the experience counters really go into the next one. But they have lots of returning ones, but they have really, really cool new ones.
Yeah.
We have interesting new ones, of which we definitely have to talk about. So the first one we're going to talk about in non-alphabetical order. What? Because I have reverse order here. It's Mutate, because I want to talk about Mutate first.
Oh, Mutate seems so cool.
I was saying before we started recording that Mutate to me seems like something that should be in an onset. It's so weird.
I saw
a picture, and it's just like, this just seems like Auras, but with an extra step.
Pretty much. So let's talk about Mutate real quickly here. So Mutate, it has some sort of casting cost for it, or ability cost, whatever you want to call it.
It's like monstrous or anything
like that. Yeah, so it's like monstrous if you want to think of that. But if you cast this spell for its mutate cost, because you can cast the creature or you can cast the mutate cost, okay? If you cast it for the mutate cost, put it over or under target non-human creature you own, okay? You don't have to control it. It has to be non-human from all the cards that we've seen so far.
Which is actually a nice distinction because this set is very flooded with humans.
Very, very human tribalist in everything.
It's humans versus monsters.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
there's so many human lords coming out in this set that I've noticed.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like when you mutate, it's going to be for a non-human creature. Okay. And then in the end, it's basically when you mutate it, it's like an aura. You put it on top or under the creature, okay? If you're the creature that you're mutating, let's say it's a 2-2, and you mutate it, and the mutate is like a 6-6, then your creature becomes a 6-6 with both abilities of whatever the mutate card is and its original ability.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if it was like the mutates gave it trample and your original creature was a 2-2 flyer, now it's going to be like a 6-6 flyer with trample. Okay. So it's an interesting mechanic. We'll probably see like a few more Voltron-ish kind of decks and whatnot. Yeah.
Does it gain the power and toughness as well?
It's whatever the top card is power and toughness, but it has all the abilities of everything under it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So just to clarify that. Because
if you make...
I'm going to need to read the rule book. Yeah. Your boy's buying a fat pack.
No, it's not a fat pack anymore. It's a bundle pack.
Oh. No. I'm going to still call it a fat pack.
Yeah, I know. So
a thick boy pack.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah. So basically, though, like, if the mutate creature or the creature that was mutate on it, it's like a 5/5, let's say, and you put it on like and you mutate it onto another creature, it would be a 5/5 mutated creature of blah 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 abilities. Yeah. So that's all it does. But like Daniel said before, you know, a lot of people are saying this. It's kind of like an aura that you're attaching, or kind of like, not really bestow.
But it's kind of like it makes like any creature bestow.
Yeah. Right?
But bestows, that it falls off. There's differences. But I really, really like the thing that each thing triggers. So some things will trigger for how many times it's mutated, which is really cool. But some things as well, like there's just multiple. If you have four different things with mutate, all of their win this mutate abilities will trigger. So you'll have like a ton of really, really interesting stack mechanics to play with this. Because like if it's just for dumbing it down purposes, if one says when this card mutates, put a 1/1 counter on it and then you mutate it again, you can continuously stack as long as you have mutate cards. So the next time, if the one is when this mutates, put a flying counter on it, you would still get the 1/1 trigger a second time on it. So you're going to trigger how you want things. You're going to trigger X amount. Like, it's going to be very interesting to try keep track of what's going on with it. It's going to be very, very stack intensive.
Sounds like mistriggers to me.
Yep. Oh, so many mistriggers.
Now I'm just trying to picture what the animal looks like with like 9 mutations on it. Like,
yeah, somebody else start to draw.
I hope it's like, it's like unstable.
I so deeply want to see people start drawing these nasty creatures.
This is my mutated blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Why is everything a shark?
Sharknado!
This is my worst nightmare of a set. It's the greatest set that I've ever gotten, but it's also my absolute worst nightmare because, like, I love big creatures and I love this ridiculous sort of like mechanics that they want to throw at us. But I hate sharks. But I'm so afraid of sharks.
But imagine like a commander theme deck where it's like every single B-rated horror movie for sharks. You know, like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. You know, like three-headed shark versus a giant robotic squid.
I'm already on the verge of a panic attack, homie.
This set does have a lot of really cool cult throwback to your classic posters and classic monsters. Obviously, everyone's seen the Godzilla series. All that stuff. It is pretty, pretty neat.
It's like, well, it's also putting like a Western spin on like traditional kaiju, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So. For everyone who's not a dork, what does kaiju mean?
They're like giant evil monsters.
Thank you, Hope.
Like Godzilla, Mothra, and anyways.
Mutated?
Look it up!
Would you say mutations?
We'll do perhaps.
Okay, so that's basically mutate. I think it's going to be interesting.
Oh, can I just, for one second, for anybody that's not a dork, are you kidding me? Why are you listening to a Magic the Gathering podcast? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I've never watched Pacific Rim or Japanese anime or anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about. Did you know there is an actual wrestling organization in Japan where you have people dressed up as like giant monsters destroying like mini buildings and everything? Have you ever seen that?
I didn't, but I now need to.
Do you know how much stress that would relieve?
It's hilarious. Like, you'll have someone like dressed up as like a giant like hamburger or something like that, and, you know, versus like another person that's a giant robot, and they'll start wrestling in a ring, destroying buildings.
I'm just saying.
Sherman, we've been on isolation, and now you're mentioning hamburgers.
If that's how...
Leave.
I'm just saying, if that is how people had to conflict resolution things, like if you wanted to fight someone, fighting and dueling is now legal in fistfights, but you have to dress up as like hamburgers and hot dogs.
and fight on a pre-made stage.
Ask me about my wiener.
I think people would have a real, real different opinion and stuff if you're pushing each other into buildings and giant hot dog systems.
There's nothing that would make me happier.
People would be a whole lot less angry.
It's like...
Imagine ripping like a skyscraper from the ground.
Quarantine changes, but for what?
Well, it's like, you know those, what are the rooms called where you go and break
escape
stuff?
Rooms? No. Ooh, that's rage rooms.
Like that, but...
It's a rager, dumb. Bud.
Anyway. So mutate's dope.
Mutate's interesting. I think a lot of people are going to play this in, Yarok? The one with this, like, Panho Marcon?
Yeah, because there's a ton of Enter the Battlefield triggers.
Yeah,
with these
mutate itself does Enter the Battlefield, right? Like, you know, more,
I don't know if mutate triggers Enter the Battlefield.
It would already be in the battlefield.
But Well, because there's some mutates that, like, just say you mutate.
When this enters.
Yeah, and some of them will say as it enters, right?
So okay.
It's gonna be different, but I can see that a lot in, like, the Yarok decks or, like, people that run, like, Enter the Battlefield.
Rune.
Yeah, things like that, right? So yeah. That's what I see mutate. Like, I think mutate's gonna be a strong thing in Commander.
Totally.
I honestly do.
Another one that we've seen come in, which is kind of interesting, is, the ability counters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you
flying
instead
counters
of just,
trample.
Yeah. So like death instead touch. Of just giving something flying, it gets a counter that provides the flying.
Now I find it really, really interesting to do for them to even consider doing this. Because one, let's say I have one of the new creatures in this set that's spoiled, which is the Crystalline Giant. Okay, now I'm gonna read Crystalline Giant real quickly here. It's a 3-cost artifact creature, giant, and it's a 3/3, and its ability. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose any kind of counter at random that the giant doesn't have on it from among flying, first strike, death touch, hexproof, lifelink, menace, reach, trample, vigilance, and 1/1.
That's pretty cool. It gets to play counter roulette.
Yeah, put a counter on that kind on the giant. Now, if I were playing this giant, okay, and this is, like, my 5th combat phase. All right? How many different counters do I need to put on? Right. How do I remember each one? Do I have to, like, write on a piece of paper, like, this is one counter, this is one counter?
They've announced that they're including a ton of punch counters.
Oh, just right. Like in Omelette?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Like, for an Abominant? Oh, okay.
You should. Also, that's definitely going in Atraxa, because I can just give it, like, every turn I get to give it one of those things, and I'll just put 1/1s on it, so I know it's not going to get the 1/1, and then I'll just make it huge and give
with
it death touch
the
and first strike and hexproof and lifelink.
It'd be great, but it'll be great in something like Audric, right? So, you guys know what I'm talking about, the soldier from White
yeah,
Soldier.
Yeah, everything that has everything has
yep.
everything.
Yeah, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, because you think of it, like, if he gets everything, then everyone else is going to get everything.
Concerted Effort's another card like that. It's at the beginning of each combat. Your things get basically anything. So if you have a creature with flying, all your creatures get flying. If you have a creature with first strike, all your creatures get first strike.
Yeah.
So, great, great cards for it.
Yeah, like, again, a lot of utility that I see that's going to be for a lot of other decks.
I find it an interesting mechanic. I have no idea how to abuse this. Like, you guys know me. I like taking these things
and
just
counters,
flipping them.
The counters don't double up, so they won't do that.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, sadly.
So that's one thing. Okay. But, like, at the same time, this is one of the reasons why we were talking about this earlier. The white card from Outer Devastation, Solemnity, it's gone up in price dramatically.
Tripled in price.
Yeah, because Solemnity basically says, like...
Tripled in price as of the last time I looked, which was the day they spoiled that moth.
Yeah. So, and the moth basically says, like, when the creature dies, it, like... I don't remember
comes
the name.
It's
like
the flying
moth.
It's whenever a creature you control without flying dies, return it to the battlefield with a flying counter on it.
Yeah.
So it's super infinite combo enabling if you have Solemnity, or if you can remove a counter from permanence.
Yeah. So it's really, really crazy, right?
Or in any Taysa deck where you just want to give your Blood Artist flying.
Vampire, it should have flying.
But that is one way to abuse it. I personally don't like abusing it that way. Like, if I was playing, like, Standard or Modern, yeah, I would totally do it. But it's Commander. We like, or I don't know about you guys, I like coming up with janky stuff. Okay, so...
What?
Like, never.
What? This is the first time hearing
it. Jahoo-hoo?
Jahoo? I will cast Mana Shore and announce that I'm Tuxedo Mask. I don't care. Okay.
Janake?
Janake,
I hate you.
Okay, so, but, like, I don't know, like, it's weird. I give it a counter, like, what's the difference between me giving a counter compared to, let's say, using an equipment that gives first strike or something like that? Like, it's, like...
A really, really interesting thing... A really, really interesting thing about this is someone... who is nameless in our playgroup, Brian, place humility.
That's true.
The creatures lose abilities. However, these are counters on it. The counter gives it to you, so you could still have your first strike token. You could still have your flying. Your creatures won't lose the flying, won't lose trample.
Like, I'm the kind of person that likes using enchant. I would rather use like an enchantment equipment, right?
Then do it.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying I'm not going to.
I'm just saying that like I also like play like equipment heavy decks. I also play like a lot of enchantments. I'm just saying that like I think that this is cool because it gives you like a different way to access those without dumping a card or without
taking
like,
up a card slot or something.
Without
like
taking up a card slot, without not in the traditional sense, mm-hmm. and without isolating it to like one creature, because a lot of these are all encompassing if you achieve a certain parameter.
Yeah.
You know, like so with the luminous with the luminous brood moth, it's when it dies, it comes back with a flying, right? So like there are parameters to be achieved. And then once all those have been fulfilled, then you get the reward. You know what I mean? So yeah,
in a black-white deck where you sacrifice your creatures to do something, it comes back with those tokens on them? Get out of here!
That's why it's so abusive!
Get out of town!
Would Taysa trigger that moth double?
No, because we...
It enters in with it. With it.
Yeah. Never mind. But, like, it reminds me of back in the day...
But, speaking of that... Return it to the battlefield with a counter on it. I don't know if you'd be able to sacrifice in response to it, or if it would re-enter. That'd be really, really interesting.
It would re-enter.
You cannot with the token?
Yeah.
Or would it
the counter. It would re-enter with the counter on it.
Because what if you had, like, a Torpor Orb out?
So a Torpor Orb...
enters with a token, and creatures entering don't cause an ability to trigger. It's this set's gonna cause a ton of rule questions.
I say if there was the Torpor Orb art or like a Hushbringer out. Actually, wait.
Hushbringer would screw all of this.
Yeah, let's say it's
creatures dying and creatures entering. Yeah. Hushbringer's a great card.
Yeah, but like I say, it would come back into play with without the counter because it has to enter the battlefield and then you put the counter
enters with so. Yeah, I think that it just wouldn't.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't.
Because
we're not judges here, so...
Yeah.
But this is my interpretation of what the rules are. But
I'm very interested to find out what some of our judge friends think.
Someone's a judge, hit us up, let us know.
I'm just going to ask Adrian.
Yeah.
Okay, that works
too. I believe.
Aside
from these tokens,
these and everything, like, this kind of gives a huge throwback to me for back in the day and something that they've always tried to do. And that is making things like sort of like honorary artifacts, okay? Yes. Like with Memnarch, Ashnod's Trance, Monogrant, or whatever it's called, Microsyn Flatus.
Yeah.
You know, because everything's like, oh, you are all artifacts, or you can become artifacts. Just put a counter on saying it is an artifact, and you're good to go. This is what it reminds me of.
You too can be an artifact.
You too can be an artifact. Come join us. But that's what these ability counters remind me of, you know? And I'm just, like, with that, like, okay, like, let's say I have the counters with, if I put the counter on, it gets first strike. Sure, I'm going to use, like, I might consider using things like Kwande, I think the name was from, it was the white...
Kwembe.
Kwembe, yeah. Like, if your creatures have first strike, you actually gain double strike.
Yep.
You know, I would consider running things like that,
yeah.
You know, or like with the Death Touch, you know, if you have like the Planeswalker, Rasa, or, you know, like if you do combat damage, if the creature had Death Touch, it would get a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yep.
You know, so I would try to find things to abuse with that. Other than that, I can't really think of anything else.
No, so. I think you're looking too far into the tokens. I think they're just pretty bland.
Maybe. So, but it's me. Like I still use banding, crikey.
It's true.
That you do.
Yep. Hey, considering that I have not used the one commander with banding in an actual deck yet, you know, hey, you gotta give me some credit.
So I have to say that this next ability comes at the perfect time because with everyone being in self-isolation, we all need a little bit of companionship.
Companion, yep. Companion is a divisive one so far.
It has definitely split the field.
Yeah, well, it's a very, very interesting one for sure.
Especially in Commander or EDH, yeah.
Yep. Well, we'll go into the thing, but basically in their reveal of it, they said that they want to have a bit of a EDH feel into some of the other formats. That's where this mechanic came from.
Yeah.
Comes from a good place. I don't like it personally, but let's talk about it. What is Companion?
Well, Companion is basically, you can only have one Companion. Let's start off, okay? It's basically
sorry in the sideboard. Sorry for you players out there.
Yeah. It's basically in a sideboard, of which in Commander, we generally don't have a sideboard. We will discuss that later on in a bit here. And each one has a stipulation. So for it to be a Companion, your deck has to follow a certain format. Whereas, like, all your non-land cards have to have a CMC of 3 or greater, or they have to all have an even CMC.
Yeah,
or
they're weird deck building requirements to play them.
Yeah, they're very, very weird. So, like, it varies with each one. And this brings up a really, really interesting thing that just came up where a card was actually banned.
In the pre-release?
Before the release, right? It's banned before the release. And we do have a new website that is up. Daniel has posted an article on this. He has written and posted an article talking about this. And the website is intothe99.com.
Yep.
So
we'll talk about it again at the end of there.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But this mechanic, I understand where it's coming from. They want to push people to do more theme decks or whatever, or push them to kind of think of how to build different decks and get kind of variety in a sense.
I don't think that's it. I think that they just want to try entice Commander players to play not Commander. I think they want the Commander players right now, like I said, we are pretty much the driving force in a lot of the buying market. Standard is interesting, but a lot of singles and a lot of the collector boosters, the sets that they're putting out, they're budget.
The new fancy looking cards.
Yeah, they're not budgeted. They're focused towards Commander players because they know that Commander players spend money, and in Standard you can have 4 of it. So if you have people that will spend money on the cards, you want them to buy 4 instead of 1.
Well,
so
I would rather play Brawl if that was the case.
I would just look at it. We are collectors. Yeah. We have 100 cards in a single deck.
100 different ones, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to have the fanciest, the coolest, or just the neatest looking copy of my cards.
That's why there's such a vibrant altar community and stuff. Yep. Everyone's so excited for different looking versions of it. The foil version, the extended art
or
version.
Or asking someone to create what your vision of that card
yeah, exactly.
Be.
Yeah,
exactly. What price have to done.
What one's yours, the Sith one?
Oh, Macias.
Yeah, Brian has a Sith Lord Macias.
Sidious.
Yeah.
His lightning hands.
Yeah.
It is a cool, cool altar. It is a great altar.
Yeah, it's very cool.
But that's, Commander's the most expressive format, at the very least. Like, it's not designed for anything other than, like, I think this is cool, I'm going to make it. And I build lots of decks, as everyone knows, but I build lots because I'm like, this is cool lore. This is a cool looking card. Oh, I really just like the tribe of this. Slamfoot the Stowaway, love it. If there was an extended art Slamfoot the Stowaway, you got my money. You got me.
Hear that, Wizards?
Next reprint Slamfoot. Slamfoot.
Can you imagine if they...
Slamfoot the new captain? He's no longer the Stowaway?
No, but like, imagine if they combined... Slimefoot
Weatherlight Captain?
Yeah, I'm
going to make someone make me that card.
Oh, I'd love...
I've never liked the idea of custom commanders until now.
No, well, think of it this way, okay? Let's say, for instance, Wizards, for some reason, talks to, like, Nintendo, and is like, hey, have him on the flying ship, redesigned for the Weatherlight, and have, like, you know, like a Mushroom Kingdom or, like, like Slimefoot.
Hope's over here excited. Hope loves everything Nintendo does. Nintendo could set a children's hospital on fire and Hope would love it.
Not everything they do. They've done some things that really tilt me, but...
What, Virtual Boy?
No, I don't want to get into it.
That's fine.
It's for a different podcast.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's in Hope's brain.
It needs to.
I have to admit, though, companions.
My gears.
Oh god, companions an interesting mechanic. Let's start off with this. Okay, what do you got? How do you guys feel about Commander being 101 cards now?
Hate it.
Why?
I think that
hate it unless I need to add two extra sleeves.
The only thing is I like the number.
If Dragon Shield comes with... Yeah, then we have to change the slogan. We have 100 cards because Commander's number one. Companion Edition.
I think it's interesting. But I don't think that it should be maintained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that it adds a different level that isn't meant to be there, you know? And like anything that runs those colors... Obviously, that's why Lutria was banned. But like even with the hippo that I love,
what's the hippo's called? Karuga.
Karuga.
Yes, Karuga.
I've never.
Walrus.
It was walrus. What, Simic colors or?
He's Simic.
Hopes for a Simic.
Let me see him.
We're just looking up the card right now. We are so unprepared because...
Here, skip this Karuga. Hope you're good.
No, yeah. Now I'm all excited. You got me all hyped.
Okay, let's look at our
master. He's the commander. He's a dinosaur hippo, first off, which is exciting.
I love him.
The deck building requirement is 3 or more. CMC 3 or more.
I got it here. Okay, Karuga. Okay, 3 Simic twice, so 3 and then blue...
Hybrid mana. Ooh, by the way, sorry to interrupt. Love the amount of hybrid mana that they brought back into this.
I agree. I do love that.
But so his thing is that his starting deck creature...
Your starting deck contains only...
cards with converted mana cost 3 or greater and land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of dope.
And when Karuga enters the battlefield, draw a card for each other permanent you control with converted mana cost 3 or greater.
So all of them.
My biggest issue, sorry to interrupt with this, with the companion, is that it's very similar to a lot of the conspiracy cards. And the conspiracy cards aren't playable for the same reason. Like, there's the one conspiracy where you don't have to put lands into your deck. Your deck can't control lands, and you can choose a land each turn to play. That'd be a great card. I'm sure everyone would love that, just ability to never have to worry about lands, pick one land a turn and play, and just have 100 cards in the deck. That'd make deck building much easier. But that's the big issue I have with Companion is that it's too similar to Conspiracy. Now, please continue about Karuga.
Anyways, what I was going to say is that like a lot of my decks are already like that, with the exception of like Mana Rocks and I mean like Llanowar Elves. You know, like so many of my decks already have like a high mana curve, like where it's already close to, if not already at, like CMC 3 or greater already. Like, it's just easy for me to consider making a Simic heavy, creature heavy deck with Karuga and just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just don't think it's that hard. And just getting that extra card and getting that extra little bonus where when he enters, you get all of that draw, like, that's nasty. Especially in blue.
Yeah. I personally don't like, or like, we need to play with this, mechanic, but I personally don't like the companion mechanic because it's like you design your deck around whatever you can draw. If you need more card draw, you do that and everything. The companion mechanic basically tells me like if I have this free, I screwed up, but I have free mana to cast this one spell.
Yeah, I always have it there. It's like you're starting with an 8th card in your hand.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just have this sitting in my binder in case I really want to just drop it.
Yeah, play it.
Well, and to me, Karuga seems like another like combo enabler. Like to me, Karuga is just a lab man enabler.
Yep.
Straight up.
But even then, it's like not just Karuga. You have like a bunch of other creatures.
That is true, actually. I didn't even think about that. But it's just the... Once you can generate it, a lot of lab mans, people try and stifle your draw trigger, and then you play, oh, well, I'll just cast my free sitting outside of the game card.
That you cannot interact with.
Yeah, until I play it.
Yeah. Ooh, you can't interact with it? It's not a cast or anything?
Like, no, you do cast it, but until you cast it, like, let's say I try to Thoughtseize you.
Oh, yeah, you can't go...
It's not in my hand, it's not in my deck, it's not...
And then, you know what, if they do print more of these, then there's going to be... Remove cards from outside of the game.
Whatever
you grab from your binder, no.
Well, I don't like the idea of just changing. Because, again, I like the sideboard idea, but then sideboards are, they're a competitive thing. Mm-hmm. They're, okay, well, I don't like what's being played against me. How can I do it? I know Brian's playing enchantment. Let's slot more enchantment in. Mm-hmm. Brian's not going to be running as many artifacts. I'm going to take out my shatters and stuff like that, and I'm going to put in more of the return to dust.
I know Daniel's playing his Moldrotha deck. I'm going to slot in the Leyline of the Void and the Bajuka Bog.
Yeah, the Bajuka Bog. You've got a Silent Gravestone. Brian's playing Mill. I'm going to put a Gaia's Blessing in or a Kozilek or something that shuffles, right? It
changes the inherent casual funness of...
Yeah, right now you kind of build what you build, right? And at the end of it, like, your deck just goes and you got to play to your meta.
Everybody sits down at the table, you pull a deck out, and you just call it a day. Nobody's looking at it and be like, oh, somebody pulled this out, and they go grab another deck.
But I personally love the wish cards. I think that it'd be really cool as a ability to pull them out. The wish cards, the Masterminds Acquisition, I run that in decks. And it has the search for a card or get a card from outside of the game. But that second half doesn't work in EDH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My issue is the differing rules on it. That, like, it's a sideboard mechanic that works in this one weirdly thing. I personally am of the choice and mindset that companion needs to not be allowed in Commander, but be allowed in the deck. Just the companion mechanic doesn't work. You can play it all you want, but there is no outside of the game, and therefore you will not be able to cast it.
I could agree with that one. I can get behind that.
Because I don't think that any of these decks are, any of these cards, once you remove the companion ability, are too strong.
They're all really cool cards after that.
But they're like, pretty normal.
They're legendary cards. They're cool cards. Like, I would put that in a deck.
Yeah.
If I were to play with... the stuff for companion, I would be like, okay, you can have the companion, but if you're playing like EDH, the companion, like, basically has to be your commander, you know, in that sense. Because then, like, you have, like, you can still kind of interact with it. Like, if it's kind of like not sideboard, but it's like in your command zone, so you can keep on bringing it back out, in and out, in and out, and all that stuff. You know what the deck constraints are, you know, so like everyone has to follow it according to that. Mm-hmm. Think, you know,
that could be an interesting way around it also, either as your commander in the 99, but not in the companion zone.
But that's the thing. If you take their companion thing out of it, they just function like every other creature. Like, Karuga's Enter the Battlefield is already a cool effect.
It's really totally
cool.
Good. Yeah.
And there's nothing that says you can't play it if it doesn't do that. So, like, I understand that, it's a cool deck building challenge, but at the same time, EDH is already a cool deck building challenge.
That's Singleton.
It's the 100. Whole point of the game. We all this builds like, oh yeah, you can only have even converted mana cost. But that doesn't change that people like Sherman already like to build jank decks that only have even mana costs or only have a book in it. People already do their weird specific builds. We don't need another weird specific build bonus.
Yeah.
It's true. Can I have
a medal?
What?
Can I have a gold star?
Can I get a gold star sent with all these? Like,
everybody gets a participation.
Do you want me to make a deck with nothing but gold stars on them?
Yes.
I'll do it.
I know.
So, like, how many jank decks do I have now? Like, last one I've been trying to put together. Last one I tried to put together was Please Play Islands. So, it's like, for those, most likely everyone that's listening that does not know, I have a deck called Please Play Islands, where all my creatures have island home, where I cannot attack you unless you have an island. And my rule is I cannot trade land with you or manipulate your lands in any way, okay?
You're a very strange boy.
Mm-hmm. Hence the name Please Play Islands. Okay.
So many of my decks don't run blue. That would be so brutal.
But that's the thing. I have other cards. Like, I have, like, a magical hack where instead of, like, island home, I can change it to, like a mountain home. Where if you have a mountain, I can attack you instead, right? Or I'll use, like, Sure Strike Trident.
Please play islands.
Yeah, you're not playing islands, so I'm going to do this instead. So, like, I do have other win conditions in it. But if you have islands, it makes it a lot easier for me to attack you.
Now that we've covered those boys, I think one thing that we should really talk about is the new commanders.
New commanders!
It's pretty exciting. So there are five, which is tight. And do you want to run through them, boys?
Okay, let's run through them one at a time. Okay, the first one I hear is Gabby Ness Warren.
Yeah, so really quickly before we get into these are the face card commanders. Some of the other ones have been spoiled. We're going to go over some of the cards in the Commander. We're just looking at the Mythic spoiler one right now. But they have the five face cards of the decks. So this is the Jek'Sai one. The first one is, the Jek'Sai Gabby.
Gabby, okay. Legend creature, human shaman, 2/5, okay. You may pay 0 rather than pay the cycling cost of the first card you cycle each
it's like
turn.
Madness.
Yeah, kind of.
And then the second ability is whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 2/2 red and white dinosaur cat creature token.
Can we just recognize how dope dinosaur cat is?
Atla Pellini 2.0.
Yeah.
I told you guys I want to make a He-Man deck now.
Atla Pellini control.
I just gonna create a dinner like.
I just wish that.
Obviously, this is like a great card. Just in general, it enables a ton of draw at no extra cost minus the cycling.
Yeah,
which is really really cool. It puts a lot of it's a cycling commander. A lot of people have asked for that for a long time. That's been a really really popular one. People want an experience counter one, not experience counter, energy counter one. But this is another one of the most... Yeah, I know. It's one of the most popular ones. Energy counters are very popular.
Interesting.
And they're not something I ever play with. But people have really, really been saying that they want a cycling commander for a while because it's such a cool mechanic. And I think did it minus the obvious setting your playgroup on fire with Decree of Annihilation. I think this is the coolest one. This
Wait, you tell could, people what Decree of Annihilation does.
It's... We won't talk about the huge cost associated or the worst thing. It just has a big cost. And I think it's like 7 mana.
It's like 5 red or something like that.
Yeah. To cycle it. Yeah. And when you cycle it, destroy all lands. But you can just do it with her for 0.
Destroy all lands.
And you're in the Smothering Tides color. You're in the... Yeah. It's the worst.
Set up and leave.
Set the world on fire with that card. Yeah. I can actually probably see this being a problematic thing and interaction at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Decree of Annihilation literally may have to be banned because of this. Because of the frequency it'll be able to show up. It's a basically unplayable card.
That has now instantly become...
That is a zero cost
land
wipe.
Yeah. It's
the worst person in your playgroup is going to play this. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it, guys. She's in great colors for control, obviously, like the Jek'Sai. Yeah. Is it Jek'Sai?
I don't know.
I think
blue, white, red. Yeah.
Captain America colors.
Yeah.
The it's always like you see it in like people who play Narset and stuff like that. There's this is the color of copy control, like... This is the color of protect everything you want to protect, and it's
and
the color
it
of destroy
fire.
It all.
Yes,
yeah, protect my stuff, but oh no.
The one of the strongest abilities I talk about constantly on Planeswalkers is the ability to protect themselves, and she does that. Her ability would already be a great ability, minus the token creation, but you're incentivized to draw, which is already one of the best things you can do in Magic.
Yeah,
you get. Instant token creation, and you have the ability to cycle cards at zero mana.
So how does is the cycling almost like a cast? Are you able to
react
it's
an ability.
To the cycling?
Yeah, you can stifle it.
Yeah.
No, like, so say I want
you
to
can't
do
counterspell
this,
it.
Say I wanted to do this Annihilator thing.
Yep.
Can I then go to Furious Protection and I bounce out?
Brian, you seem to understand where everyone's at with this,
okay.
Yes?
No, okay.
Yeah, so you cycle it. You cast your Teferi's Protection. Teferi's Protection resolves. You're out of the game. Your spell is not out of the game because it doesn't remove your spells from the stack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it wipes the board and then you come back.
And you have land.
You come back. You wonder why the table's empty and no one's texting you back.
Yeah. The game store has actually moved locations.
Oh, it's crazy. Uh-huh. Guys, I have Smothering Tides. Are you going to pay for those?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Can we just talk about how awesome Smothering Tides is when you destroy lands? It's
or Ristic Study.
Yeah. Any of those draw engine cards when everyone's just draw pass.
Bad people.
Or land tax or...
I thought that I missed you. I didn't.
We have another commander.
Daniel hasn't gotten anywhere.
Otrimi the Ever Playful.
How
By the way, really quickly, I hope they have oversized commanders in these. I like the oversized commander cards.
See,
I don't think people use them. I'm pretty sure that you can still use them as a legal commander. I don't care if you can't. At some point, I may.
They're cute, yeah. And I love them.
I'm really, really excited to frame all of them, and that's what I'm waiting for is these five, because I have them organized in rows of five right now. Ooh, do I ever want them? Ooh.
Yeah, so this boy is three black, green, and blue, and he is a nightmare beast, and he's adorable. And he introduces that mutate ability, which is one and the same colors.
One and Sultai.
Sultai. And he's a 6/6 with trample, and whenever he deals combat damage to a player, return target creature card with mutate from your graveyard to your hand.
Strong.
Classic Sultai with the graveyard shenanigans.
Very dope.
And the mutate ability. I expect we're going to see a lot of it, which is a pretty cool thing. So you're going to see a lot of ways to get him through, get him bigger, and get those cards back, recycle them.
I feel like he's going to be like a new version of like a Voltron deck, but he's Voltron creatures.
I think it's strong because like with mutate, especially if he's commander, your mutate bypasses the commander attacks.
Yeah.
So
it does.
I don't know if it will.
Why wouldn't it?
Why is it just an ability?
It's a different cost.
If you cast a spell for its mutate cost,
it'd be like but the whenever, ninjutsu.
But whenever you cast your commander, you have to. I don't know. Again, ninjutsu, so many.
You're not casting the commander. You're using its ability.
Yeah, and its ability cost is not its casting cost.
Yeah,
I believe you guys are right.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I think this is
going to be hate you all for it, but I think you're right.
This is why I think this is going to be one of the stronger. Will be one of the more competitive ones.
Well, anyway, to get around that is always, always good.
Yeah, always pretty tight. The next one after that is also kind of interesting because it's a new Mardu commander, which nobody asked for, but everybody kind of wanted.
It's true. Well, yeah, your choices right now are Kalia or Edgar Markov.
Edgar Markov.
If you don't play those two, you should just play those two.
It's a human lord.
It's a human, yeah.
Yeah,
it's another lord.
It's not. It's a soldier.
It's a human soldier, though. It's a lord.
Yeah. It's a lord because it gives other humans.
Yeah.
So it's Jarena Kudro. And when she enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white human soldier creature token for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game. Other humans you control get +2/+0. And she's a 3/3.
Let me start off. I was the most disappointed with this on original spoilers. I saw this and I was like, it's not great. Like, yeah, like you can. I was wrong. I was wrong, people. Because this is an ETB trigger.
Yes.
This will trigger Helm of the Host every combat. Yeah. You are in the colors to make extra tokens with Anointed Procession.
Yes.
So if you've only cast it once every combat, you'll get another one and your humans will all get 2/0.
I'm just waiting for everyone to like.
If you have a way to sacrifice those and recast them, you could eventually be having it trigger for five humans cast. This is the soldier token commander. And I've been talking about how we need a soldier
Boros commander.
For a while. Boros was limited. Gerard was the best option. But now you have the... Let's be honest. Boros is weak. Boros is not great. But Black is great at drawing cards. You might pay life for it, but you're gonna draw cards.
And you can gain life in white.
Bolt Citadel with this?
Yeah.
Paying life, gaining life.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Go.
Well, and you're able to, again, this is a token deck. You're able to run your classic token stuff. Like, you're able to run Darien whenever you lose life or take damage. You get that many soldiers. You are able to run all of the like red, white Boros anthems. You're able to run all of the great, great pump your creatures, steamroll, catapult master with this. This is, like I said, I was not happy seeing this on release. And I looked at them all and I have brewed this into my brain. So I know that there's going to be a commander deck. I'm probably going to have to build a second one of this specifically to just change my Boros soldiers to it. It's just a hands down better commander than my current.
Well, especially considering Gerard. That like we kept getting knights.
Yep.
And it was so annoying.
But they're human knights too.
Yeah. But that's the thing is like the sheer amount of human synergy and human support is disgusting set. It's so dope.
Plus, these are soldiers, too. And there's a lot of soldier support as well.
Well, and there's weird cards like the Gallows Hill, like tap three untapped humans, destroy creature artifacts. Yeah. There's...
I have to say, like, looking at these card types, like these creature types, I'm still super happy to see that they came with more nightmares.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that was one of them that you have not seen for a long time.
Yeah, it's nightmares.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it should be. Like,
in honesty, I'm excited for all of these. Like, for every one of them, like, the last commander set that came out, they were all good in their own ways, but I just didn't really get too deep into them. Like, you had a bunch that were really cool, but I just, maybe it was just the timing of it. I just didn't brew them extensively. The Kadena deck is... barely edited. I have done nothing to the Rakdos decks.
I had more fun with the Brawl commanders.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe it's because they released them so close together, but I was so much more excited for those than I was
I found them more interesting. Well,
and they were just so much stronger.
Yeah.
They were Korvold is incredibly strong in comparison to these ones.
Even
the same with Alila, the same with Sir Gwen. Like, they were more colors. They just, I don't know, the last commander set, and I'm sure they're great things. They're fun to play. Like, Kadena's an awesome one. You get a free creature basically every turn and a draw. That one usually
ramps so fast, I've noticed.
Yeah, it's an awesome deck, but like I said, it was just the timing. But all of these, every one of them so far, I'm so excited to brew and try. Like, I have not seen deck lists, but I already know I'm going to rip these deck lists apart and do it. These are so interesting of commanders as just the face cards. Like, these are some of the coolest face card commanders I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This beats Duretti and this beats Nahiri. Like,
the only thing for me is just like, I look at Kudrow and I'm like, can I make a friends themed deck now because of Lisa Kudrow?
You could.
You know, I'm weird that way. This is how my janky deck.
That is 100% where my head went. Also,
it also has awesome flavor text.
Yes.
What is it?
Strength is what keeps us alive. Compassion is what keeps us human.
Oh my god.
Oh, I'm just very excited to build this deck. It seems great.
I know I'm not human now.
Speaking of decks that we're very excited about.
Yeah, Hope's favorite. I'll let you read this.
The Lightning Stegosaurus. What's his color? Is it Timur?
What's his name first?
Timur, yeah.
Yeah. So he's Calamax the Storm Sire, but better known as Lightning Stegosaurus. He's one in Timur, so green, blue, red.
Before you get into him, he works with Omnoth in the river. He's an elemental.
Yeah. He's an elemental dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I love him. And whenever you cast your first instant spell each turn, if he is tapped, you copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Whenever you copy an instant, you put a 1/1 counter on him. So it's got 1/1s, it's got copy, and he's a 4/4. He's a dinosaur. I've never been more in love.
I'm going to be honest. Paradise Mantle in this deck, great card. Zero cost artifact equipment, allows you to tap your creature for 1 mana of any color. Super, super good. You don't have to risk attacking with him. However, he is an elemental dinosaur, and he is in some of the best colors to get those elementals big.
Yep.
I'm excited for this commander. Of all of them, I'm most excited for this one.
Me too.
So, I you know me, I like to tap things and untap things.
Well, he's in the great Spellslinger deck, too. Oh, like, that's the Riku decks. Like, you've got your Izzet, and you've got the green ramp to support it. Ooh.
You know what?
Nasty.
I'm second most excited for this one. I'm going to take it back. I love him the most, but I'm second most excited for him.
Do you like Otrimi more, or do you like the next one?
I like the next one.
Oh, okay. So, but does anyone else have any opinions on Calamax first?
He's dope, and I love him, and I'm going to put Omnoth in him.
Yeah, I think he's pretty straightforward. He's got really cool abilities.
Yeah.
You can run a ton of, counter and control, but you can also run a lot of cool copy spells. Lots
your
of, like...
Your little art... They put the otter in him.
You can
we all come full circle.
you can put like a lot of your reverberates in it and just like really, really
go crazy,
go hard on it. Well, and if you cast your first instant spell each turn, so he does not trigger sorceries, that's at least one good thing. But there's a lot of real good instants.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, he's pretty basic.
Copy it 3 times just of mad flex. Cyclonic.
The first one doesn't get you.
Cyclonic. Cyclonic Rift. Copied twice. You flash Tempting Worm in between resolutions. Oh. Put him down and pick him up, boys.
Get all the ETBs so many times.
Yeah. The last one, Hope, please.
Oh. So the last one is Cathril Aspect Warper. So he's for 2, a white, a black, and a green, which is what?
Abzan? Yeah.
So he's a nightmare insect. So to Brian's he point, again, sure another is. Another nightmare. And I love him. I think he looks very handsome and cute. And so he, when he enters the battlefield, put a flying counter on any creature you control. If a creature card in your graveyard has flying, repeat this process for first strike, double strike, death touch, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, trample, and vigilance. And then you put a 1/1 counter on each, on sorry, him. Put a counter on Cathril for each counter put on a creature this way.
So he can trigger, as far as I'm reading it, he can trigger on everything. If you're creating tokens, let's say you have 50 sapling tokens and creatures with death touch and double strike, you can put them on all of them. It's yeah. not yeah. it's not
and,
choose
and
one.
And then you put 100 counters on Cathril.
Yes. It reminds me of, what's that card called? Soul Flare.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty stoked, to say the least.
That is a counter card. Right there, I am going to counter it every time.
That
will finish a game out.
This
will get
can.
Crazy fast.
It's an awesome one.
That's why you need to have asceticism.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Well, it doesn't stop counters, but
oh, true.
Solemnity.
Yeah, but still, like, it's just basically like you need to put in some sort of graveyard hate as well, or what?
Yeah.
Don't let them.
There is a lot of graveyard shenanigans in this deck.
Yeah, this entire set. My alley.
This entire set, as I'm looking through the spoilers, was just them being like, you know what? People should play Golgari more.
Yeah, you were saying that yesterday. You're like,
so
this is
many green and black cards that are just so busted, and maybe they just haven't spoiled the other ones yet, but these ones.
Actually, I've never made a Golgari deck before.
Well, it's never been a better time.
Because, like, every time I, like, just for fun, like, everyone, like...
You always rotate around blue.
I do. But, like, whenever I do,
well,
like,
and those... you said that green's your worst color.
I know. But every time I do, like, one of those, like, survey things just for fun, because, like, let's face it, we do this from time to time. What clan are you? What colors are you? I always get Golgari. No. I always do for some reason. I'm like... I'm an Izzet player! How is this possible?
That doesn't make any sense.
I know! Maybe I should try to make a Golgari deck for once.
So we have a few more spoilers here of what looks to be the secondary cards, and I have read this card already, and I missed the first line of text, which is pretty exciting.
Which one are we talking about?
Shabraz the Sky Shark. Shabraz the Sky Shark's first word, so he's a commander. He is a flying shark bird.
Of course he is.
He's 3 colorless, white, blue, but he has an interesting first line that I didn't read, and it's partner with Braylon.
Oh!
Sky Shark Rider.
Partners are back!
They brought a partner back.
There's Braylon right here.
Over there on the other side.
So what Shabraz does is he's flying. Whenever you draw a card, put a 1/1 counter on Shabraz. And you gain 1 life, and then for either of the Azorius colors, target human gains flying to the end of turn. And what Braylon does is it partners with him, and it's a... What?
Human
shaman.
It's a human shaman for 3 and a red. Whenever you discard a card, put a 1/1 counter on Braylon Shark, Sky Shark Rider, and it deals 1 damage to each opponent. And then for 1 red, target shark gains trample until end of turn.
Awesome. I love it.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
So we have a few of the other... It looks like these are the secondary commanders and stuff. So we're going to talk about the other Sultai one because it's awesome. And it's a new deck that I'm going to build for sure. And it's... I don't even know how you'd pronounce
Zexara.
That.
Zexara. Zexara.
The Exemplary. 1 and Sultai for a 2/3 death-touching Nightmare Hydra.
Woo! Nightmare Hydra!
That taps for 2 nightmare. Mana of any color.
Which is cool.
Real good.
2 mana on a tap is nasty. That's awesome.
Whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, create a 0/0 green token, green Hydra creature token, then put X11s on it.
This is a Hydra commander.
This is a really good Hydra commander.
This is a really good one.
Also, the artwork is stunning.
Yeah.
I want this playmat.
It's very cool. It's definitely very cool. Shout out to Simon Dominique.
We have another one, Kelsian the Plague, the other Mardu commander.
And it's just Mardu cost.
Hey, yep. Look at that. Human assassin.
Vigilance Haste on a 2/2 body. Gets 1/1 for each experience counter you have. Awesome. Then it has a tap, deals 1 damage to target creature. you don't control. When that creature dies this turn, you get an experience counter. So you're obviously going to want to get Death Touch counter enabling things
on something like this. Or tapping of it.
Yeah, exactly. A tap, untap kind of thing. Yeah. Anything to get them... Oh, I guess he can tap to continuously do damage, but he can ping a lot of really, really good elves, birds, a lot of things that you want to keep.
Yeah, boys, spirits.
He does bolt the birds. Then they have another one. It's Tayam Luminous Enigma, and it's one in Abzan.
So it's another nightmare for you, Brian.
It is another nightmare
beast.
Each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional vigilance counter on it. Awesome.
It's going and attracts him.
Mm-hmm.
3 mana, not a tap. Remove 3 counters from among creatures you control, which again...
Any counter.
Great on Atraxa. Put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, then return a permanent with CMC 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. This is a really, really cool commander.
Yeah.
Like, on its own. A lot of the thing about this is... These are obviously bundled together in the commander decks, but these are exciting to build on their own.
Yeah. I would say that they're very good, like secondary boys. Like to the point of, like, I found a lot of the last sets of commander decks that either the secondaries were kind of like, or they were way better than the facing cards. Like, if you look at, like, what's her face?
Angie?
Planeswalker one. The girl, what's her face?
Which one?
Is it red blue? Yeah, Shalai.
Oh, or... Saheeli?
Saheeli. Brutacloud was like.
Yeah, the cool. I built most of those ones. Actually, I didn't build as their commander ones. I built alternate versions of them.
Yeah.
I helped a lot of people with Brutacloud, and I kind of regret it because they're too strong now.
But like, I that's just what I found is like a lot of them. The secondaries were either boring or they were way better. But these, I feel like they're. On par.
They're all exciting. Yeah. I would be happy to build any of these so far and to play against any of these.
If they were to flip it and have like those partner commanders be the face, I'd be happy with that. If they were to have this other Abzan one be the face.
If you think I'm not building Shabraz the Sky Shark, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
With the partner?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You'd be crazy not to.
Let's Brian doesn't like to look at spoilers. So we're going to bring Brian's blood pressure up a little bit, and he's going to increase his credit limit for buying 100 of these.
Ugh.
Here's a new mechanic that they're putting in. So a lot of these cards are the following. If you control a commander, you may cast a spell without paying its mana cost. And here's the white one, Brian. Flawless Maneuver, instant for 3. Creatures you control gain indestructible till end of turn.
For free!
That would go great in Salvala.
Yes, it would. Decoy Gambit is a new blue instant. For each opponent, choose up to 1 target creature they control and then return it to their owner's hand unless its controller has you draw a card.
So you either get a free draw or you get a free individualized Psychrift.
Well, you get 3 creature bounces, which is pretty good, or 3 draws. 3 draw at 3 mana is a great card.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Another graveyard card, Boneyard Mycodrax. 3 for a fungus, slime foot. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of other creature cards in your graveyard, and it has scavenge. So scavenge is back again, which is great.
That's nice.
We have the card that I was the most excited for.
I don't see how that would go in slime foot.
It's a fungus.
Yeah, it's not Sapperling.
Yeah, but it's a fungus. Slimefoot's a fungus.
Yeah, regardless of the fact. It is making sapperlings, not funguses.
Yeah, but the fungus makes sapperlings all the time.
He doesn't make sapperlings.
He doesn't, but he's a fungus.
No, he's not going in there.
He's going in mine. Maybe.
You can have him.
He's going this to my card, Gary deck.
This card.
Molten Echoes.
Sherman, tell me what it does.
Yeah, two red.
It's my dream, is what it does.
2 red enchantment. As Molten Echoes enters the battlefield, choose a creature. Type.
I love tribal. Go on.
This is a crazy one. Whenever a non-token creature of the chosen type enters the battlefield under your control, create a token that's a copy of that creature. That token gains haste, exiled at the beginning of the next end step. This is going to be overpowered.
If only someone in our playgroup played dragons.
Yeah! Hope. I wonder who!
Hope.
Or even to be included in elemental decks.
Yeah. Elemental decks, dragons. I'm putting it in my angels. I'm putting it in my new Kalia deck.
Boros Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The ability to double down on anything. Cool. I have the Sir Gwen Knight deck.
Yeah.
Amazing. this is in Torbrand, so all of my annoying ETB. Sylvia?
My question, is that a sacrifice at the beginning of your...
No.
Exile
at the beginning of the end step. But if you can sacrifice it, you can still sacrifice it.
No, I was going to say, if it was a sacrifice ability, if you did run green with red, white, you could play Shalai. Not Shalai. The other person that stops you from having to sacrifice stuff. You can just keep the tokens.
So, Sigarda?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sigarda could be cool. But more than that, this goes in every deck that runs red. Literally every deck. This is a auto include to every tribal deck that can run red. Well, it'd
be like a Smothering Tithe in any white deck.
Well, let's look at it in who wouldn't put this in Goblins?
I was going to say, your put in haste Goblins. Goblin Krenko deck.
Oh yeah.
I make 50 Goblins.
Soldier deck that I'm talking about making where I make soldier tokens and I am going to... Oh.
Yeah, whatever non-tokens, not a big deal. So you create Krenko with another Krenko.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because Krenko's the generator.
This also, if I'm not mistaken and crazy, Anala has red. With my wizard enter the battlefield.
Oof. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Double all those, yeah.
Yeah, double the triggers that I'm already paying to double. There's a lot of...
There's a lot of utility.
I'm going to be honest. The fact that it's only four costs.
I'm going to be honest. This has increased the power level of every Sliver deck.
Oh, yeah.
Ah!
Honestly, any tribal deck that can run this. And right now, there's huge, huge... Once there's people who love to play elementals. Elemental is a very popular one,
With the Morophon.
Yeah, being able to trigger all of those up. Any deck that can run this card will run this card. People will buy this commander product solely for this card. This card is that level of good.
Yeah.
Tribal is what makes most of us tick. We all kind of like to play tribal.
This card is going to be hard to find, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an annoying.
This isn't going to be like a trade-in card. Like, this is going to be if you see it, your sword, just buy it.
So. Yeah. Buy it and send it to me. I'll pay you for it.
Yeah. They also brought back Devour, which is super dope. We're big Devour fans in this house.
What does Devour do?
So, it depends on the number, but essentially what Devour is as the creature enters the battlefield, you can sack any number of creatures in addition to the cast.
Cost, yeah.
And that creature enters the battlefield with that many 1/1 counters. If it's Devour 1. If it's Devour 2, it enters with that many counters times 2. If it's Devour 3, it enters with that many counters times 3.
Yeah, so this one's Devour 3. If you sack 3 Sapperlings to it, it'll get 9 tokens.
The creature we didn't even say what it is?
We didn't say it.
It's Ravenous Gigantotherum. And he has 7 cost boys, 5 and green. And he's got Devour 3, like you said. So if you sack 3 things, he gets 9 counters. So when he enters the battlefield, he deals X damage divided as you choose among up to X target creatures, where X is its power.
So number one, a great card. But number two, if you have something that all your creatures have death touch, this is a board wipeable card.
Yeah. Those creatures all deal damage back to him.
They do fight him.
Yeah.
He's not quite Apex Altasaur, but he's pretty close.
But he's a fighty boy.
He's still
he's a raw 3/3. So
yeah, so he still enters with power. So. Like, that gives him a little bit of a buffer against all of that attacking back at him.
Yeah, that's true.
But which is kind of cool.
Costs a lot.
Yeah, but
read the next one, Hope. You'll be interested in this one.
What is it? I haven't seen this.
Which one are you looking at?
Nascent Metamorph. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So it's 1 and a blue. It's a shapeshifter. Whenever it attacks or blocks, target opponent reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a creature. And then he becomes a copy of that card to the end of turn. And that player puts all cards revealed that way on the bottom in a random order. So he can just become whatever. You just get to pay shapeshifter roulette.
Yeah, shapeshifter roulette.
Just with
other people's decks.
Yeah.
Fun. Oh, boy.
Does it exile that card or does it go to the bottom?
No, it just reveals
it. No, it just goes down.
And then their card goes to the bottom. But somebody's playing a worldly tutor.
Oh, yeah, and they put that on the top.
Yep. Yeah.
How amusing.
Pretty good.
To the bottom with you.
Another nightmare, Brian. Mind Leecher.
So I'm just saying, like, I'm not a bit, like, I don't have a Nightmare Tribal deck, but I'm just saying it's nice seeing them bring back
other I like seeing them get types. More, yeah,
like
more
you
support.
Can now.
Yeah, you know now. Yeah,
bring back actually, Badger!
I'm gonna make...
I want Badgers. Badger Tribal.
I actually do want Badger, but that's besides the point.
I'm definitely gonna make a Mind Leecher one.
Snake!
It's a snake!
This one has Mutate. Whenever this creature mutates, exile the top card of each opponent's library face down. You can look at them and play them as long as they remain exiled. So, pretty cool card. Kind of gaunties them. Obscuring Haze is the green version of the commander card.
For like where I'm sitting, that nightmare, it looks like the from Lord of the Rings, the
Smog?
Yeah.
Yep, true. Obscuring Haze. If a spell you control, if you control your commander, you can cast it for free. Another one of those. Prevent all damage that would be dealt by all combat damage that would be dealt by creatures your opponents control this turn. That's a really, really good card.
So sweet.
They reprinted Alesha, Who Smiles at Death, which is good. Really, really cool.
We needed a reprint of her.
I think personally that might be the third commander option, which that disappoints me slightly, but. Yeah. But it's still a fun one. They're putting Shared Animosity in, though.
Mm-hmm.
Also busted, a very, very good card. Whenever a creature you control attacks, it gets 1-0 till end of turn for each attacking creature that shares a type with it.
Yeah. That's going into my annex deck.
Goblins.
Why?
another one. I'm kind of backwards in my order that we're looking at, but I don't care. Curious Herd, an instant for 4. Choose target opponent. You create X 3/3 green beast creature tokens, where X is the number of artifacts that player controls. Brian, which you spell to, or your treasure tokens?
Yeah.
No.
Beast.
Yes.
Is it choose player? Can I target my opponent?
Choose target opponent.
No.
Yes.
Removing.
Netherborn.
Please feel free.
Netherborn Altar, another very, very cool card that's going to be included in a majority of black decks for sure. Artifact, 1 and a black. Tap, put a soul counter on it, put your commander into your hand from the command zone. Then you lose 3 life for each soul counter on Netherborn Altar.
Yeah, really, really cool card. I have to admit, this is a really, really interesting one.
There's a flying whale beside it. It's in Japanese and I can't read that, but I'm real excited to find out what it does.
Yeah, crop rotation's back in again.
Rashmi's going to be reprinted. That's pretty exciting as well. Rashmi's really cool.
Sweet. What else do we have here?
Arcane Signets are coming in them. The last one I want to talk about
is... They're reprinting Arcane Signets now?
Yep.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
People are telling me I'm crazy. I don't think these are coming with Soul Rings.
Not if they're coming with Arcane Signets.
No, I don't think they're coming with Soul Rings. Be prepared for a Soul Ring price increase.
Yeah.
That's me calling it. I could be wrong. I doubt they're giving us a Soul Ring and an Arcane Signet in these out of the boxes. Especially knowing that they have the crystals. We'll talk about the crystal cards in a minute. I don't think they're coming with Soul Rings.
I like the Arcane Signet a lot more than the Soul Ring. I think it's a good balance.
We're going to talk quickly about we're going to talk about the Signet more. We're going to talk about the land and land rocks, but I want Hope to talk about the last card because it's Hope's Dreamland.
Did you just see my face light up? Oh my God.
I read it early. I've known what it
is. I have not seen this. This is so dope. It's Nesting Grounds. It's a rare land. Add a colorless. Who cares?
Go into any deck.
And then, but for 1 and a tap, you can move a counter from target permanent you control to another target permanent. You have to do it at sorcery speed, but who cares?
So that's good.
Dope. Being indeed. Able to move counters? Oh my God. Please. So
I move an infect counter from you over to you.
Well, permanents. Players aren't permanents.
One of the last things I wanted to talk about is these crystals. They're not on this list and stuff, but they basically have an inclusion. Number one, these are great mana rocks for 3 colors. They go in, they'll be an inclusion in every 5 color deck as well.
Totes.
They're so good. They're better than the Signets by a long shot, in my opinion. I don't really like the Dimir Signets where you pay 2 and then you have to tap to activate them, like the 1 mana. I never run them. I'm not a huge fan. I understand.
Pay 1 for 2 mana?
Huh?
The pay 1 for 2 mana.
Really, yeah. It's like to I'm just, get like.
I'm not a. It, yeah. It basically it pay, you could tap for 1 extra mana and color fix a little bit. Not a huge fan of them personally. However, these exceptional fan of.
Yeah.
These all tap for the tribe colors. So you've got your Temur, you've got your Sultai, you've got your Jek'Sai, Abzan. Great cards early game. 3 mana. Do not come in tapped. Tap for 1 of a color of your choice. Amazing. And they tacked cycling onto them. So that they are not a dud draw later in the game, and you can cycle them away if you're looking for an answer. Super, super exciting inclusion, and the reason I think we're not getting a Soul Ring. They are not going to let us turn 1 Soul Ring into Arcane Signet, turn 2 into the banner, and hit like 6 mana on like turn 3.
But what? No.
We're not going to have out-of-the-box commander decks that are letting us 7 drop on our 3rd turn.
Nah.
Because of their great mana. Like, this is They could put only basic land. Yeah,
I do have to say that.
Well, perfect hand or not, though, it's still...
It's still really, really crazy.
It's still... They're just not going to allow... Like I said, if you draw just those artifacts and... Just those artifacts and the three signets. Or the Soul Ring, three lands, and Arcane Signet and this, you are effectively a turn 3/7 mana.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. That is like... That's good CDH level magic. That's, you know, that's Mana Crypt good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to print Mana Crypt good level artifacts in it. We're going to get these great ones. It's going to slow it down so that people who are looking for an out-of-the-box game are going to get a little slower, a little more time to build up. You're not going to be as disadvantaged. But these aren't coming with Soul Rings. I can almost guarantee. I could be wrong. I often am. But but I don't think these are coming with Soul Rings. And I think as we see the deck lists... Spoiled, I would love if they did. These would be some of the best value I've seen out of the box if they do. But just with the inclusion of the signets, with the inclusion of these must-haves for Commander, there's no white deck isn't going to run this for free indestructible. I run like Commander Isha with auras and stuff. I'm trying to kill people as fast as possible. It's a great card. It's great in Selvala. It's great in our friend's Tristani deck. Like, there is no white deck that is disadvantaged by having a free castable card. All of those. And we've only seen the green and the white one. I'm sure there's more. Sure.
There'll be one for every color.
I'm sure per deck there is. But it's the same thing. Molten Echoes, they have definitely increased the power level in these decks. And they're not going to be printing $50 commander decks that have, like I said, a potential 7 mana outlet turn 1.
Do you feel like that we're starting to get that power creep going, like ramped up a lot? Or do you think we're kind of plateauing at a certain power ranking right now?
You go ahead first.
I was going to say that I think that the power creeped a lot. Well, I think it started really high, like with the commander decks, and then they kind of like tried to overcorrect and drop the power quite a bit, and I think then it kind of went right back up, and now they're trying to kind of find a nice middle ground for like a starting out of the box.
But deck. Like even looking at the last two sets, okay.
Power creep and magic in general? Yeah. I think Ikoria is super, super overpowered. I think it's so strong.
Have
fun, standard.
It's not that. My take on it is that they are hearing the complaints of people not liking CDH, but knowing that people like big splashy plays. Mm-hmm. So they're putting enormous cards into play later on, and they're giving people the ability to protect themselves early until they get it. That's what these free cast cards really are. Indestructible, if you control your commander, is it's an early game. You can still cast it for 3 mana, which is still great, but later into the game, it's really, really good. And you're seeing that with a lot of these cards. A lot of them are extremely powerful, but their mana cost is going up
like
on that power. Like
Colossification.
Yes, exactly, right? They're trying to get games, I think, to... There's always going to be people who are going to break the game, right? Yeah. There's for everything we play, people are going to want to, how can I get this out for free? Cheating things out is part of the game. Yeah. It's exciting. However, like I said, this is why I don't think Soul Ring's coming in these decks. And I could be wrong, by the time this is out, they're putting Commander spoilers out.
I was going to say, they might spoil it literally.
I could be wrong. And if they put it in, I'll be super excited. But like I said, just the Arcane Signet level so that it's a turn 2 instead of the turn 1, it's kind of bringing more of a social aspect to the game where you're sitting around joking with your friends rather than like a, hey, check out how much mana I can have turn 1.
Yeah.
Check it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, this is a really, really interesting set, I will have to admit. Mm-hmm. I like the direction of that, whatever they're doing when it comes to getting, getting the other people to join in. Like, you have the comic book artwork, and then you have, like, the rights that they got for Godzilla and everything and whatnot.
Doesn't Hasbro own Godzilla?
No.
No?
No.
Why did I think they had some sort of ownership?
No, they don't. But, like, they did have to go get permission for using all that stuff, right? So I like...
It's pretty dope.
Yeah,
I also really... I really, really, really like that even though they got, like, all that Godzilla stuff, that they didn't make it, like... It's Godzilla. They're just like, it's a card that's already existing. We're just going to give it Godzilla art.
Yeah,
like,
and the name
really
underneath
like
is
that.
Just like the actual card name.
Yeah, I really appreciated that because like I didn't want Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know?
But they, so they, now we're saying that this stuff is now in the world, and
it's just like hey, like, this is fun. Like, these are kind of like, oh, basically we're making like the kaiju plane. Mm-hmm. So,
but it makes you, you know, makes you kind of think of what they're gonna plan on next, because like they've dived into like the anime-ish kind of stuff, you know,
fairy tale,
and then they're doing like they're doing those like B-rated movies and all that stuff, like well, Godzilla and then all the monsters and everything. Like, what's gonna be next?
The thing though is that they had to do this. They had to do stuff like this because they just wrapped up an enormous story arc that spanned so long of Magic's history. Yeah. For the amount of time that most of us have been playing the game has been the Gatewatch. For a lot of people, that's been their whole thing.
Yeah.
They wrapped it up, and it's pretty hard to jump into a new and exciting storyline when you just wrapped up like what it was. There's obviously nuts stuff coming. Elspeth's back. Elspeth hates Phyrexia, and Mirrodin is new Phyrexia.
Yeah, we've said it time and time.
They will be going back. Yeah. There will be more Phyrexia stuff.
But it doesn't make sense for them to jump from wrapping up this huge story with Nicol Bolas and the Gatewatch and all of these characters that you've grown to love over so many years, and then to jump right back into it. Like, it's just like we needed a breather, but a way to keep us still interested.
Well, and that's what they're doing. They're trying some new things, but they're also doing something else interesting. They're introducing a few new characters to the story. We've got Oko now. He's kind of interesting. I think he might have died in Eldraine.
I didn't read Eldraine yet, so I can't.
But even like, even
I think Garrick might have killed him.
But even with Vivian Reed, like, they introduced her, and now they're like giving her more.
Yeah, Vivian's getting more depth. They have this new Luxa guy, which is a really, really cool one. We'll go over him when we do a full official spoilers one. He's not really commander in general. He's still
like,
great for it, but
stuff like that. You know, like, they're giving us these new characters, or fleshing out. Like, they finished up all these other stories, so they're giving us new stories. You know, and they're trying to bring those back in.
And War of the Spark brought a really, really cool ability to the game, which is the passive ability on planeswalkers, and they're going to explore that more and more. Mm-hmm. But they have to have. There's still exciting storylines to explore with Jace, with like Chandra, all of them. But they need to. They need time to set it up and stuff, right? They can't. It's like writing any book, right? There's no way to just jump right into it. So these kind of playful planes where they give us, they basically feed us commander fuel.
But it would also be nice to see like a breather between stories, like in between, like, because I don't want to hear about Jace right now. Like, I don't care.
Everyone's mourning Gideon.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, like, they're doing other stuff, you know? Yep. Like, Liliana's doing other stuff. Kaya's with her. Like, all this, like, there's a lot of happening already. Like, I want to hear about, like, Davriel.
But and that's just it. They did with Theros a little bit. With the amount of stuff that comes out, Theros almost seems like it just didn't even happen. It just seems like it went, like,
That was, like a fever dream.
Yeah.
But
they did set up a bunch of new stuff, and that whole point was to get Elspeth. I think we're seeing some Phyrexia stuff coming, and I'm hype. Because Atrax is still alive, and Atrax is great. Elish Norn is. We also have to remember the Eldrazi aren't dead. We don't know if there's more. Only two of the Titans are dead, and Emrakul sealed itself into the moon.
Didn't they say they would not bring back Eldrazi, or just the Titans?
Not as far as I know. Storyline wise, Emrakul is in the moon and not dead.
But on Innistrad.
Okay, but why wouldn't they go back to Innistrad?
Oh, no, I thought you meant, like, with, like, them going back to Zendikar.
No. But that's, like, that's just it, right? Like, they have to, again, they are going back to Zendikar to kind of heal up the wounds of it. That's one of the things. So maybe they will decide. Maybe Nahiri and Sorin will patch things up and realize that they need to deal with the Emrakul.
With Emrakul?
It would be cool if they brought all that stuff back, but even with the bringing back Phyrexian, I would love that, but that brings up the topic of, would you bring back mechanics that are kind of broken, or you know are kind of broken? Because Phyrexian mana, in my opinion, is bloody broken.
Especially in Commander.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that's overtly crazy with it. Crick was Phyrexian mana, so it's not like they're against using it. They just printed one.
That is very true.
And Crick is great, but like, he hasn't broken the format. I played against Crick deck last night. It was very fun.
Yeah, but it's really strong. Like, most trick decks are really, really, really strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the argument for very strong, though, is subjective, right? Yep.
That's true. Depends on the person.
It also that can be said about a lot of things, right? Like, that can be said about a lot of commanders, a lot of different decks. Like, oh, yeah, it's really strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, it's so but bogus. Like I said, there's no way. Like, the Phyrexians are such a cool, like, Elish Norn went just buck wild on that plane. And there's a lot of people, like, who don't know the lore and stuff aren't super up to date with what's going on there. Let me tell you, Elish Norn, bonkers. Elish Norn is just going nuts on the other Praetors, killing them. Urabresk helped the humans of Mirrodin escape and hide in the mountains.
Yeah, like,
so there is definitely a salvation arc available where you see the Red Praetors help out Elspeth and Ajani in trying to free Mirrodin, where you see Karn, who is part of Mirrodin, back trying to cleanse the plane of that evil. That is New Phyrexia. There's no way around that Phyrexia will come back. Now, what we'll see with the Praetors and the mutations and the, like, spliced creatures, I think is going to be exciting for sure. But you're going to see, there's no doubt that they're going back to Mirrodin, and there's no doubt that they have to deal with Emrakul at some point. From a story perspective, just knowing the horror that the Eldrazi wrought upon Zendikar, I could talk about the lore stuff all day, but just knowing how crazy things were, they were, like, essentially threatening existence, that it took the Gatewatch everything to fight against these, like, just knowing, like, what, like, even Kozilek does, like, waving his hand and, like, making people disappear, like,
yeah,
these were an existential threat to not only the plane, but the multiverse. And again, just because we saw three Titans doesn't mean that that's the only Titans.
I just want to see more mirrors.
Doesn't mean that there's bigger ones.
Yeah.
I love mirrors.
You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that there's any of that. And there's a lot of people who speculate that the Wanderer, another planeswalker that they may be Emrakul.
Yeah.
That Emrakul may have, like, figured out a way to become, like, ignite a planeswalker spark and become that person.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a lot.
But
especially because you already know that Emrakul can, like, kind of take over the minds. Right?
Yeah, well,
like,
because that's
how she sealed herself.
Yeah, she took over Tamio.
Tamio
took her big scroll out, read a spell, and sealed Emrakul into the moon.
And didn't even know what happened.
But didn't know what the spell was. The spell wasn't on the scroll, and the spell wasn't Tamio's. Emrakul sealed Emrakul into the moon. And no one knows why Emrakul is imprisoned in the moon right now. However, like I said, there is no... That has to end. The Sorin and Nahiri thing has to end. They are pretty not, as the people call, chill right now.
Es bueno.
They are not es bueno, Hope.
Anyways.
But yeah, I could, like I said, I could go on where I think things are going. I could be wrong all the time. Maybe they never go back and they never finish
never
that up.
Or whatever.
But to that end, also, I'm interested in seeing the rest of the spoilers for Aquoria. I'm interested in seeing where this
I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, where this story goes.
Well, let's just keep talking and then in, like, what? Like, 12 hours. Don't make
To that end, let us know what you guys think about the spoilers for the Commander decks, especially since you'll have some new information tomorrow or today. Or whenever you're listening to this.
We also have a few new projects going.
Certainly.
We started streaming some new games. So check it out. It's Into the 99 podcast on YouTube. You can also find the stream on our site. We're going to be playing with our play group, obviously. But we're going to be more and more people from the Instagram, from our Discord, are playing games with us, jumping in. So we're really excited to see different decks, different play styles in it. And as we mentioned earlier in the episode, we do have a new website up. It's intothe99.com. Very easy to remember.
Yeah, we're wrapping things up.
Yeah, we started being able to write some articles. We have our first one up and everything. So feel free to take a look at the site, give us some feedback, and let us know.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Catch you later!
Have a good one.
Bye.